Hello, everyone. My name is Garrett.
This is Jamin.
And welcome back to Cross Country Comments. So we have had a lot of issues with this recording session.
this took like around like 30 minutes, a little over 30 minutes maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. We because we use Discord to record, and Discord was being stupid in about five different ways. First, yeah. I started freezing. And then his video started lagging like 30 seconds behind. And then I had to figure out...
on top of that, even with the last episode that we did, I have to... For me, Discord is upside down. I have to flip my phone and not auto-rotate it so that it's straight for him. But for me, me and him are upside down right now. So I'm looking at everything upside down at this moment. So Discord is just... very funky since, and I use my phone, so, and it's only been for people who use phones for Discord, so everything's just crazy.
Yeah, the thing that sucks is, like, I love Discord a ton. It's just that recently some of the updates that they've done have just, like, sucked massively.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, go figure, the best gaming thing for. Best thing for gamers to talk on and do that kind of stuff, and you have horrible updates.
Right.
But, you know, they've had this update with the phone thing going for, like, 3 weeks or something like that, and they still haven't fixed it. So, you know, have fun figuring that out.
Right.
Anyways, I suppose we'll get to it. Super excited, because last episode was the first episode we posted in almost 3 months. And we are recording this probably exactly a week after last one we recorded. Yep. So there have been a few developments and a few things that we have done and played and enjoyed and are looking forward to. We'll put it like that.
Yes.
So it's going to be an exciting future. We'll put it that way. I gotta stop saying that.
It's true, though.
It is. So if you would like to cover the first one, because I know that it's both of our childhoods, but you nerded out about the remake a little more than I did. So I'll let you cover this one.
Okay, so the greatest thing that has ever happened finally happened. I've been waiting for this day. Just so you know, before I say what game it is, I have the original Xbox right here. With the game, and I really wanted to play it for so long. My controllers are messed up, though. I have the original Xbox, that old thing. I have it, and I have the first game. And this is a game that my dad introduced me when I was like four or five, and ever since then, we played the crap out of it. He taught me all the ins and outs of the games and how to get through and like different strategies. The game that I'm talking about is Star Wars Battlefront, but this is the Classic Collection. They finally released it for next gen consoles. Thank goodness. First, I want to get my feelings and thoughts out of the way. I am happy. I am extremely happy. I'm glad that it's literally exactly like how we grew up with it. The graphics are still the same. They just did a few lighting things to make it better, but ultimately it's a better version than what we got. It's a little upgraded version, but it didn't at all take any of the nuances that we loved out of it. It didn't even update like the graphics on how it looks. They just highlighted details and that's it. And I love that they didn't like reskin anything to make it look more realistic. I know that sounds so weird saying, like, I'm glad that they didn't make it more realistic, because seeing all these and their shapes and how, like, even like certain things that like that aren't like good are still like there when you were little, like they kept it the way it was supposed to be, and for that I am so thankful to Aspyr. But now we're gonna get into the controversy part. So for weeks now, because when this is going to upload, it's going to be, I believe, a week or two since it came out. the PC version of the game, or when I'll be more specific, the Steam version of the game, of the Classic Edition, has a lot of problems, and the Star Wars Battlefront Collection is getting heavy, heavy fire back on. All I see on my YouTube is it's bad, it's horrible, they messed up, horrible launch. And it, I'm not gonna lie, like every time I saw it, it like stabbed me. You know, every time I saw it, it's bad. The only thing that I don't like about it on the console side is the original Star Wars Battlefront sound when it goes into the map, because the original goes doo 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 boom. Now it goes doo 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 boom, and that kind of hurts hearing it because it's not the same sound. But I know they're gonna fix it. I have faith that they're gonna fix it. But that's the only thing I don't like about it. But for the PC version, not only with that sound, but the graphics on some maps, especially for Battlefront 2, are being gridded out. I don't know how else to explain it. So picture, upload a picture or a video of this if you can find it. Think about the Battle of Hoth. And once you do, there's like a patch of black with green, with a green grid that's like in the distance or like near, like in the snow, that just all of a sudden pops up. So the, it seems like I'll call it the reskin, I guess, didn't go well with the PC version. A lot of the cutscenes for the Reign of the Empire campaign for Battlefront 2 aren't there. So, and this is for the PC version, not the console version. Aren't there. The internet, the online playing is horrid. Yeah, and then I heard that there's a couple other buggy stuff. And then another thing is that the game for the PC version is 77 gigabytes, which is huge for the people that don't know memory. That's as close to as putting Spider-Man 2 on the PS5, which is a pretty big game. So a lot of people don't understand what's going on, like what kind of features are there in order for it to take that so take so much space, etc. But what's funny is that that's only the PC version that all that stuff is getting messed up. This is going to sound so funny. Garrett and I actually forced Garrett to get it on the Switch.
He called me the day before it came out. he said, yeah. and I quote, he said, "You better get some sleep, because we live 3 hours apart." And he said, "When you get home, you're going to buy this. We are going to play this, and you're going to stay up late. So get some sleep." And I said, "Oh, okay." And then I ended up going even further because my Joy-Con suck. And ended up, if for those of you who can't or aren't watching the video and just listening, there are these like controller adapter things that are licensed by Nintendo and work fantastically, that I bought those and the game and a new memory card. So I listened to him. Yes, sir. Aye, Captain.
Yep. So I forced him to get this, the Classic Collection on the Switch. And oh my goodness, I've never ever seen a game other than it being on the PS5 and PS4 did I see a game run so smoothly in my console life of gaming. Especially for the Switch, constant 60 FPS even online. There are no, and I mean no, problems on the Switch except for that sound that I talked about. But I know it doesn't bother you because you didn't play the first game as much. But for hate it. It hurts my heart.
Is it the same thing on the second one? Because the second one, when you do Galactic Conquest, is also do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Okay, so it may hurt a little bit then.
yeah, it's going to hurt. So they changed the sound. I feel like they're going to fix it. But literally, other than that, no problems. Garrett and I even played online together
Match.
It only lagged for me because I don't have great internet as of right now. I'm not in a good area. But other than that, I still was having fun playing. It was great. If my Wi-Fi wasn't so bad, I know that there would be barely any lag. So for the Switch and for the dedicated Aspire servers, they're great. I jumped on a few of them. They're fantastic. I'm literally in a paused Battlefront game right now. Like, it's amazing. And another thing that I hate that a lot of people are complaining about is that it's not more upgraded. As in, like, you know, like the mods that people have been installing for, like, the old school Battlefront to make it better and more fun. That's what people were expecting for Aspire to do. And I want to put this out there right now. And that this makes me so angry at the gaming and modding community. If you already have an old copy of the Battlefront and making it the way you want to, do not get the Classic Collection then. Because the Classic Collection is only for the people that actually want to experience the game that it was back then. Just basically unlocked. Because they added a few things that were in the game that they didn't release it at the time. And I want to put this out there too. Aspire has been doing fantastic because I've been buying every single old school Star Wars game that they have been releasing, the old school ones. So I have both Knights of the Old Republic. These are all on my Switch that run at 60 FPS, just so you know. I have both Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2. I have Star Wars Republic Commando. I have Star Wars Episode 1 Racer. I have...
I have both...
Or... No, that's not on the Switch. That's for the PlayStation. But I do want to get that. I think they're going to release it on the Switch. I'm not sure when, but not yet. I have The Force Unleashed on there that was ported from the Wii. That's on the Switch now. I have both Star Wars Jedi games. Jedi Knight and then Jedi Outcast. They are literally the exact game that they were when they released for older consoles. They just released it for the new ones so that people that haven't experienced or want to experience it again can experience it again. People shouldn't be expecting something new, putting something new into a really old game, especially Star Wars Battlefront, that's 20 years old. If you want something new, just go play the newer Battlefronts. Like, play the EA ones. Like, that's as new as you're going to get right now. They're literally just releasing this just for the next-gen consoles, and I am grateful as a person who grew up playing on the old-school Xbox and on the PS2 playing these games, now being able to play it way easier now on my PlayStation 5, on my Switch, and especially on the Switch so that I can take it to, like, my dad's house and we can, like, play together and stuff like that. So people need to get that mindset of, oh my god, they should have released this, they should have redid that, they should have reskinned everything. This is other than the bugs. This is just the game that they wanted upgraded to, like, make it as close to, for some reason, the EA version look as possible with the same pandemic mechanics. No, stop it. This is literally just for nostalgic factor, if we're being honest. But one thing I would complain about is the prices. Because for us, you only had to pay $35, which I feel is worth it. I was able to get it for $31 because they had a sale going on. But I will complain about the PC version because they actually had to pay $45. Yeah, I know. They had to pay for $45 for them crapping all over it. Yeah, I know. So I will give them that. Like, okay, that does suck. You have to pay $45 for all this crap happening and whatever. Like, I kudos to them. Like, yes, Aspire did messed up on the PC launch. But don't crap on the whole game since the console versions are literally perfect, especially, and it's weird saying this, especially on the Switch. So yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. I'm having tons of fun, as you can see. This is literally, I'm reliving my childhood playing these games. I cannot be happier with the launch for us for the Switch. I thought it was great. Yeah, just please fix that sound. Like, I want my childhood back with the do 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 do. I want to get that back. But other than that, I'm happy. I'm so glad that we get to see Kit Fisto and Asajj Ventress
with her nunchucks.
Oh my god! See, this is one thing that was crazy about. I didn't know any of this. I haven't played Star Wars Battlefront 2 on the Xbox 360 version or on the original Xbox. I had the first Battlefront on the original Xbox, but when I had Star Wars Battlefront 2, I had that on the PS2. So I grew up playing the PS2 on that one. So I guess it was like an Xbox exclusive at that time, to where only Asajj Ventress and Kit Fisto were on that, and they were going to release it for the PlayStation, but they never did. So now that we all get to have that, it is pretty insane and pretty cool. Asajj Ventress, I never knew that she was supposed to use her lightsabers as nunchucks. Tell me why that is so satisfying for no reason. She's literally my main now in Heroes and Villains. Like, oh, I just love that concept. And it made me go back and watch the original Clone Wars TV show, the 2003 version. And I was like, I wish she used them as nunchucks, because she doesn't use them as nunchucks in that either, but she has kind of like the same outfit. So I was like, oh, that's my Asajj Ventress right there. But yeah, I'm extremely happy. And obviously the space missions, perfect. But I do want to say this. It's so weird how, and I'm not sure if it's nostalgia factor, it probably is, but these Battlefront games are better than the newer ones. I'm going to put that out there. Like, obviously, when it comes to you, I have fun with whatever we play. We go insane. But when it comes to Battlefront, I've been waiting for this for so long, and they did not disappoint. And I'm just reminded that these games, this Battlefront version, the Pandemic version, is better than the EA version. I actually played the EA version again. I was like, it feels so hollow. It's like, where's the mystical? Where's the mystical feeling about it that I got from the first one?
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. So when it comes to Battlefront, the original, I have a similar background in it. But Jabin's game was the first Battlefront. My game was the second Battlefront. So I played one a good bit, but two was like my game. Some of the standout times were like the space battles, specifically how you could just jump in any spaceship around, get out of your spaceship whenever you wanted, fly into the enemy's starship, get out, destroy it from the inside out, and then go out and destroy the outer parts. And then having two teams fight against each other and try and keep each other from blasting each other's ships, but then also try and sabotage the other. Just that concept is so satisfyingly in depth that when I heard they were remaking Battlefront, Battlefront 2 specifically, EA, I was like, they're going to put an updated version of the space battles. I am so excited. And they never did. So when it comes to that, the space battles were some of my favorites. After the space battles, I specifically have memories of going to Mos Eisley and playing Heroes and Villains. And I would just rotate through heroes. I didn't like the heroes with guns. They felt overpowered and not satisfying. But everyone with lightsabers, me and my brothers would go head to head, because PS2 had very limited online. I don't even know if they did have online.
They did, but it was pretty limited and didn't even last long.
Yeah, didn't last long. It was very limited. So I played a little bit of that online, but mostly me and my brothers and my friends would all play and go head to head with some of the AI and stuff like that. So there's just a lot of really good memories with it. And the thing I think a lot of people miss about it is, and this is something I've been noticing in recent gaming, is people miss the simplicity. Because they are making games. There are games with a lot of mechanics that can be really fun. But the simplicity of gaming is just so satisfying. Like, you look at games that aren't all that, like, intuitive, and they've done incredible recently. Look at Lethal Company, for as an example. Graphics look interesting at best. Like the graphics look kind of funny, kind of cool, but it's literally just you're in a spaceship, you land on a planet, you go in, you collect scrap, you try not to die, you get back to the ship. That's it. And then you buy little upgrades here and there. It's like a really fleshed out version of a mobile game, if you know what I mean. So It's like simplicity is what people miss. Thing about the original Battlefront games is they thrived on simplicity because there was four classes with two classes that you could unlock through the match. Four classes, very simple. And I mean, the new Battlefront stuck to this as well, but you had different abilities. You had cards that could upgrade those abilities. And it was just like, why are you making this so complicated? And so in the original, it was you have assault, heavy, sniper, and scout, essentially. I think that was the name. Anyway, you have those four classes. And then going through, there's a specialty class normally. And there's normally a jetpack class. So you have that for everything. Very simple. You have two guns, you have grenades, and you can run. That's it. And then obviously flight, and then one extra ability with the special people. And instead of being like, oh, I got to kill a certain amount of troops, and then as soon as I get to this number, I can sit on the waiting screen and wait until the hero is available, and then I can go pick the hero. Well, in this one, it's you just go around and play the mission as the trooper, and you enjoy yourself, and you have a ton of fun. And then occasionally, if you're doing well, not, oh, I racked up as many points as I can, now I'm going to sit here on the wait screen till I can get the hero. It's whoever does the best gets a yes or no chance to play as the hero of the map. And I think that is genius. Because if you have someone who's dominating, give them the chance to dominate even harder. Why not? So
reward, yeah.
It's reward for doing well in a game. Instead of people just getting the minimum amount of points and then hogging a hero.
Yeah.
And the heroes are so simple themselves. I mean, you go around as Luke in the pilot suit in Hoth. And you run, you swing your lightsaber, and you have, I think, a lightsaber throw. That's all you can do. And it feels legitimate because you freaking mow through troops. Like, it's not like they put up the biggest fight in the world at all. Like, in the new ones, when you come across a hero, if you got the right assembly of troops and you can evade, you can sometimes kill them pretty easily.
Yeah.
Even if you're an inexperienced person in the old ones, if you get Luke, you are demolishing for a little while. Unless you get bombarded, you're demolishing. Because one to two swings, and you have that super fast speed run. And you go through, and you hit them, and they're dead. I mean, it feels like a lightsaber should feel. And it's against other players. So it feels like you're really actually getting a leg up in the battle when a hero gets there, rather than someone just getting the chance to be a hero and then, oh no, they're going to screw it up because they're not good at this hero. You can still demolish if you're not good at a hero in the old ones. So I'm going to stop talking about that part, but I just love the simplicity of it because it's something that we've lost in current today's gaming. As well as the fact that I think this release was less so meant for the computer. Because you can still access the old school Battlefront 1 and Battlefront 2 through Steam without the Classic Collection.
Yes. I have them on Steam, actually.
So do I. And you can access them. I think they might still have online servers. And so you can do that and just go play those. And they're like $5 or $10 a piece. And they're super small file size. So go play those instead of buying Classic Collection on PC. This release was meant for two types of people. First type of people, Switch people. And me and Jabin both got it on Switch. Not that we're both obsessed with the Switch, but it's so convenient because you can pick it up and play it wherever. I mean, I'm flying out to go see him next month, and I got the controller, the new controller things for my Switch, and I got that game. I'm going to play that on the plane. Like,
yeah.
If you told little me that I would have a portable gaming device that had a big screen on it, and I'd be able to play Battlefront on a plane, I probably would have thought you were crazy.
Yep.
And so it's meant for those people. It's also meant for, and this just like warms my heart a little bit. It's meant for the generation of people like you and me, and even a little bit older, that grew up with these games, can now go back and play them on Xbox and PlayStation with their kids. They can play split screen with their kids on a game that they loved when they were their age.
Yeah.
So if those two main things are like the biggest pushes for this launch, I think. And if people are upset about the PC version, like I said, you have other options to go play it. I mean, I believe that they should have gotten it right. Don't get me wrong. And the file size shouldn't have been that big and yada, yada, yada. But this was meant to bring nostalgia back to the people who haven't gotten a chance to play it since their original Xbox or since their PlayStation 2.
And I'm telling you right now that in that demographic is you and me and my dad, because he played this game when in his 20s. He was 25 or 26. That's how young he was. Like, man, and I could tell how much it affected him too, because Ivana, she sent a video of me opening the game, like, on my Switch. My dad just like, oh my goodness, the nerd has started. So now I'm excited to go to see his reaction, because he hasn't played it since he was in his 30s, I believe, and he's already in his 40s. So he still hasn't played it for him in over 10 years. Mm. So now, like, it's for people like him to play again. So that's why, again, like you said it perfectly, and that's why I'm saying I literally hate what people are saying right now, expecting more out of it, when you shouldn't. You should be expecting the same thing that you were able to play before. When you played on your original Xbox, when you played on the PlayStation 2, when you played on Windows Vista, like that's the kind of game that you should have waited for. And I do want to say this: when the trailers came out, when I was watching the trailers, and because they were, I watched the trailer like a month before it came out. When I watched the trailer, I looked at the comments. Nothing but positivity. Everyone saying, oh my goodness, it's finally happening. And let me tell you, the trailers, they changed nothing from the game. So that's why I'm a little irritated that people were expecting more, when literally the trailer showed you basically the original game. And you were praising it. And now you're all of a sudden not, when you weren't getting what you thought you were getting. And they literally gave you a list under that trailer of what's coming, like the extra map and the extra people, and then that's it. And people were excited. So why are you having a problem now at launch? No sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. But no. We're both glad that it's here. We both love playing it. And yes. I think that it's something that, you know, the Switch is a very prevalent thing that we both use pretty often, whether it's hooked up to our TVs or we just take it somewhere. But this is going to make it so much more fun, because I haven't played my Switch regularly in a minute. Don't get me wrong. I love my Switch. Breath of the Wild's amazing. Super Smash Brothers, Mario, all of it. Great games. Fantastic. But it lost a little bit of something for me, because it just like got almost a little repetitive. And so going back to something that I used to play all the time has almost revitalized why I loved the Switch. And so I've been playing Battlefront, but on top of Battlefront, I've also gone back and I played a little bit of Stardew Valley. And I've played a little bit of, what was it? Gosh, I forgot the name of it.
Pokemon?
No. That is gonna bug the ever living crap out of me.
Heck, right now.
Yeah, I have it right here. Hold on.
Yep.
Animal Crossing. My gosh.
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing New Horizons. I went back and played a little bit of that. I was a freaking obsessed with that game for like 2 months. And it's made me go back to all these things where I'm just like, I forgot how fun this is. Because it like scratches that itch again of some of these games that I loved for a long time. So there's just a lot of good things that came with this launch that I think people who only, because I was one of those people for a second who went online.
No, I know you were. That's why I forced you to get it off the Switch. I was like, nah, you stop tripping.
Because I'm one of those people who looks at reviews before I get something. Not that I'm like, oh, I base my opinion entirely off of reviews. But if we're looking at like remakes of games, there's been a lot made within the last few years that have tanked because of one reason or another. So I saw the reviews and I was like, oh, this is another one of those. They can't do it to that. And then Jabin told me to get it because he was like, dude, those are crap. Those reviews are horrible. And so I was like, all right. So I got it. And he was right. And it's just incredible. And so if you are one of those people who goes and looks at reviews, but you're kind of on the fence about buying it, not on the PC, but everywhere else, just do it. Mm-hmm. It's freaking enjoyable. You get flashes of your childhood. Like, it's a great time. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
And for people who haven't played this game, I would still advocate to get it just because... I just want everybody to know what the fuss is about. Like, this is when at a time where the mystical was still mystical. Mm-hmm. And we still had that, like, I'm sorry to trigger a few people when I say this, but it still had that magical feeling about Star Wars. Like, it still had that fun feel when thinking about Star Wars. This had a really like big hand for a lot of people that, and I didn't notice how many people, including me, that were introduced into Star Wars through this game. Like my dad didn't let me watch the movies, but for some reason we played the video game. And then my first Star Wars movie was Episode 3. And then I got to see the clones in action. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? So like that, like Star Wars Battlefront was obviously a big deal for me. But again, for people who haven't played it, I would still get it, not on PC, but I would get it just so that you know what the fuss is about and that you can see, you know, what it was like when it was simple, when it was fun, without any microtransactions, and seeing what, you know, the love that the original developers had for Star Wars, and this was a time to where they actually for real listened to fans, because when the first Star Wars Battlefront came out, everybody loved it. A lot of people were still like, but we want running, we want to play as a Jedi, like we wanted the space battles. A lot of people were angry that the space battles weren't a thing. Mm-hmm. They listened to the fans and said, okay, let's make Battlefront 2. And then they made Battlefront 2 and barely anyone had complaints. So this was a big time where they listened to fans and they were fans themselves. Like they wanted to see this, you know, stuff happening. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say still get it. This is the only way you can get it on next-gen console. So you need to get it. You just need to get it. I'll stop giving it praise. I'm going to praise about it all night long, but literally... It just feels so good to play my favorite game on a console that I play almost all the time. It just feels really nice.
I think, and this isn't going to be a tangent I go off of, but this is one thing I just wanted to mention. Something you said sparked an idea, and that was, or a thought rather, and that's that back when Battlefront was made, and back when 007 Nightfire was made, and I'm naming games from my childhood, PlayStation 2,
yeah.
007 Nightfire, Need for Speed Underground 2, Slugfest Reloaded, baseball game, It was like NBA The Streets or something like that.
Oh, no, NBA Streets 2. Streets I had 2. That yeah. as well.
So did I. Yes. So stuff like that. Games like that. Lego Star Wars, the first one. So games like that.
And the second one the original trilogy, yes.
Yes. So games like that felt like the people who were creating them were fans and loved mm-hmm. the series. That's why they're so beloved. As opposed to creators these days that have sold out to big companies and have decided, you know what? We want money more than a good game. There's very few developers that go for good game over more money. So, and I get it's a business, you need money, sure. But you get money if you get a good game. So,
yeah.
The thing about it is, like, if you compare the quality of those games to the quality of these days, you'll find very few games when you were younger that you were like, oh, I don't like this game. Normally, as a kid, any game you got was like, I gotta try this. And it was normally 8 to 9 times out of 10, you were like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was kind of like a little bit of a blinder because we were kids and we just liked new things. But at the same time, the quality and care put into these games for their time highly exceed what's put into these days' games, because it's either a cash grab with some kind of loot box mechanic or something like that, or a subscription battle pass mechanic, or, you know, you have the very, very occasional game that's actually really good.
And there are plenty and plenty examples for that. And one, the most recent one that I'm still on the fence about even getting it on sale is Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like, and you know what? Let me do these examples. Arkham Knight Trilogy.
Oof.
And including Arkham Origins, because I know you like Origins.
I do you're like Origins. Guy. Yes.
So I'll just throw in the Arkham series. Perfect in every way. Obviously it had its things, but literally it was perfect. The only game that had microtransactions was Arkham Knight, but even then, after they were done with that, they just released it all very small prices for all the suits and all the DLC and just gave it away. Perfect. In the same universe, we got Suicide Squad, and we all see what's happening to Suicide Squad. Literally people wanted spoilers just to see if it was a good game. And we never, let me say that one more time. People were spoiled just to see if it was a good game or not. And we have never, like he said, we never looked at a game and said, I kind of don't like this. Even when we were teenagers looking at video games. Teenagers, not even just children, teenagers. We never had to look at a game and be like, huh, I want to know what happens before I get it. I just wanted to get it so that I can experience something cool. And I experienced something cool. And it sucks that we have to worry about if a game is good or not, or if a relaunch is good or this and that. Like, it's tiring being the gamer now. But like that's why, like, that I'm so glad that you reiterated that. Is that that's why I love this game so much, is because when I bought this, when I pre-ordered this, I knew what I was getting and I knew it was going to be fine. And I knew that was going to be happy again with pre-ordering something, because I already knew what I was getting into and I knew I was already going to be satisfied. And I was 100% completely right, just because on the fact that it's a simple game. It's just simply fun and pure entertainment, and that's all it was meant to be in the first place. Wasn't meant to be a cash grab. Probably the PC version probably was, but the console version wasn't meant to be a cash grab. They even put it on sale so that people can get it cheaper pre-ordering it. You never see that. And I rarely, you know me, I rarely, if not ever, pre-ordered any games. There are only two games in my life I pre-ordered. I pre-ordered Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, which I was correct in pre-ordering, even though they put it on sale for like $20, but whatever. I played it first. So I pre-ordered that, and I pre-ordered Spider-Man 2, again, perfect purchase. No other game have I ever pre-ordered. Now I pre-ordered this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's just something that needs to be looked at in the video game market a little bit. But anyway, and this actually leads kind of into our next point. Yep. As far as reformation of industries.
Yep, and you go ahead and do this topic.
Yeah. Okay, so if you guys watched the last episode, which I hope you did, but the last episode we put out, one of the biggest things we talked about, and it took up about 3/4 of the episode, was us talking about the X-Men 97 controversy and what they're doing with Morph and what the director or the showrunner is doing and everything like that. And kind of what direction they were taking that, our thoughts on it, our thoughts on making characters that are already established into social messages instead of good characters. So, little bit of an update on that, because just yesterday, as of recording this yesterday, the showrunner for X-Men 97 was fired. Well, they say he wasn't fired, they just parted ways, is how they put it.
He was fired.
I'm pretty sure he was fired. So he was fired, and then I thought about it a little bit, and I was like, okay, so they may be making some changes to the show and stuff like that. But then that got me thinking, and one of my other buddies told me about this one thing. And we're not going to go too much back into 97 because we talked about it for a long time last episode. But this one is something that I realized, but I didn't actually hear his exact words. So we're talking about Bob Iger, who was the CEO of Disney, then wasn't, now is again. Mm-hmm. So, because they rehired him. I'm pretty sure it was right after Wish tanked that they rehired him, or right before it tanked.
I think it was right before, because Wish was horrible. I didn't even see it.
I didn't watch it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure one of the songs is written by AI. I'm not sure. But one of my buddies told me about something that Bob Iger said, and this excited me. Thing about Disney, and we've talked about this a couple of times, because Disney is a large part. I hate to say Disney is a large part of this channel, but it kind of is. Because Disney owns Marvel, owns Star Wars, Disney owns Disney movies, obviously, Disney owns a lot of video games. So it's like a lot of the things we talk about are technically based in Disney. So
And we talked the crap out of Speedstorm and Dreamlight Valley on top of that. So yeah, definitely Disney has been on our radar for a while.
Yes. And so my friend told me about something that Bob Iger said. And it just makes me so happy for the future. So I'll read this out. This is, if you guys want to look it up, I'll try to remember to put a link to this down below. But it's from a website called Disney Food Blog. And it's basically talking about how parents and fans stated that, you know, movies and TVs from Disney have been pushing agendas over the last couple of years. Last few years or so. And Bob Iger agreed with a lot of people by saying a company has a right to a freedom of speech just like individuals do. And he previously stated that he wants parents to be able to trust the content that they're creating for their children, that Disney is creating for their children. And he said, committed to delivering age-appropriate content for families, audiences, while also telling stories that reflect the world around us and foster greater understanding, greater perspective, greater acceptance of all people. Absolutely. Sure. Great. You know, something that tells a story and has a little message behind it. Absolutely. That's something we even went into a little bit with X-Men. So let's see. According to I'm going to read this out verbatim, at least a little bit. I may preface a little bit.
Summarize.
Thank you. I may summarize a little bit. It says, according to Alex Sherman with CNBC at New York Times Dealbook Conference on November 29th, Iger shared more about any potential company agenda. He stated that the creators at Disney had lost sight of what their job should be, that it should be to entertain first and not be about messages. He said the messages that were being pushed got worse when he left as CEO, which it did, because he left in 2019, or was it earlier than that?
Let's see real quick. Hold on. Yeah. I'll be quick about it.
Jabin's going to look it up.
This is actually important. This is pretty important.
Because I'm pretty sure this, you'll be able to see the shift from when he left.
So Bob Iger. Whoa, I got new news.
Oh.
Okay, we'll talk about that a little after. Okay. But I can't even know because of this new news.
What's going on?
He's gonna step down in 2026.
What? Why would they bring him on so quick and then him step down so quick? Was it so that they could he could get them back on track and then he can appoint someone to then lead Disney?
I don't know, dude.
That's weird.
Yeah, I think he got fired in 20.
Or no, I thought he stepped down.
2020.
Did he not step down?
Oh, hold on. Bob Iger, Walt Disney Company. 2000 contract. Yeah, so it he retired from Disney in
2020. Okay. So that, in my personal opinion, is where you can really start to see a shift. And I know it was the pandemic and yada yada yada, and you can blame that a little bit. But for the most part, I mean, you can even look at movies made in 2019. Encanto, as an example. Encanto, fan-freaking-tastic movie. It is in my top five. It is in my top five Disney movies. I love that movie. Because they're not pushing, the only agenda they're pushing is family. That's not an agenda. That's a freaking great message. So,
and oh my goodness, there were not a lot of male characters in it either. Mm-mm. And they weren't pretty about like women empowerment. They were just awesome females in the family that had to run the family. And it was great.
Yeah. And they weren't preachy about them not being white women either. They weren't preachy about them being Colombian. I think they're Colombian. I'm like 90%.
They're Colombian.
Okay. Colombian. So, and they weren't preachy about that. They just were Colombian. And they weren't like, oh, the white man or the white woman, da 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 da. They were just like, yeah, this is our heritage. What of it? And so, incredible movie, incredible songs, the whole deal, production. Great. And then you look after 2020. You start to see the decline. So you start to see the decline of a lot of non-specific Disney properties before 2020. And I think that's when Bob Iger was losing power, was losing the pull. And we're talking about, like, Star Wars episodes 7, 8, and 9. 7 was good. 8 and 9. And then we're also talking about some of the Marvel movies. But then 2020 hit, Disney Plus released, then they made She-Hulk. Then they made She-Hulk's the worst one to come to mind. they made She-Hulk. They made Strange World. They made Wish. They made Echo. They made like and all these different things that are. They made season 3 of The Mandalorian. Season 1 and 2 were good. They made Book of Boba Fett. They made all this different stuff that was either just subpar or it was garbage because every single thing was pushing an agenda. Because I'm not gonna lie, when Book of Boba Fett came out, before it came out, everyone was looking at it because Boba Fett is like the baddest of bounty hunters. And so they were looking at it as in like, we want to see him be like the bounty hunter that we know and love. And I didn't even watch the series, but from what I was told, he became just like a little peaceful dictator or something.
Yeah, I watched it. They even played around with them. So I guess that time where he was marooned, he was taken in by the sand people. And he was taken in by the sand people, and he learned their language because they speak their own certain sign language. So he was taken in. He was, I guess you can say, he was trained by the sand people to live again. And then he literally just killed the guy from episode 6 that was Jabba the Hutt's instructor. Mm-hmm. So when Jabba the Hutt died, Bib Fortuna, he became the dude. And then he killed him and then just took the throne. And then he was trying to be a peaceful dictator. And then people didn't like that. So then there was like a war going on in Tatooine. And then they called the Mandalorian. But then they dedicated like 2 or 3 episodes of the Mandalorian and Luke to where you forgot that it was about Boba Fett. And then once you go into Boba Fett, you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot it was about him.
Yeah. And so like Boba Fett has been this like legend in all of Star Wars. But when they created it, it was like, oh, no, he's turning over a new leaf because he got changed by the sand people. It's like, okay, as great as that is for real life, people turning over a new leaf, absolutely. Give me the bounty hunter that is ruthless and froze Han Solo in carbonite. Like, give me guy.
Tell me what you told me when you saw Boba Fett and Jedi Survivor. There's something specific that you said about that and then the Boba Fett show.
Oh. He was, and I'm thinking what I'm thinking, that we're having the same thought, then we're correct. That didn't make sense. But anyway, it's that Boba Fett was better represented in a 2-minute cameo than he was in an entire Disney Plus show. And I stand by that.
That's so sad. A whole show is, wow. A like, whole show can't do what 2 minutes of a cameo could.
Like, the 2 minutes of the cameo was Boba Fett. The show was another clone dressed in Boba Fett's armor, in my opinion. It's just...
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah, I know. That hurt, but had to be said. Yeah. But it's that kind of thing. Going back to like the main point, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to Disney. You have movies like Elemental. I actually liked Elemental. It was halfway decent.
Didn't like it.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It was enjoyable in certain moments. Love stories like that, you know, it's kind of enjoyable. But the entirety of the movie was preachy. The entire thing was preachy. And I get that there were some legitimate moments to it that have like, oh, this is part of history and we're representing it in here. Okay, great, but this is a children's movie. So like, if you're going to represent it, don't make that the main focus of a movie for children. And I know it's like, yes, overcome your differences. You can love who you want. Okay, whatever. But my point stands when it comes to what movies are representing and how it changed from 2020 on, which is why every movie that they've released, all but a few, given exceptions like Spider-Man No Way Home and stuff like that, but everything else has been such a big flop that Disney is just like freaking out because of their money loss. So I am excited. I'm a little bit scared by the fact that you just found out that Bob Iger is stepping down in 2026.
Well, I guess they're doing it by contract. So the reason why he was fired in 2020 is because his contract expired. So now they made a new one to where it only goes up to 2026.
Okay. Well, that still gives him a good bit of time to change some stuff and reform a little bit. Excuse me. And I mean, they could renew his contract, who knows, but the dude is like 74. So,
yeah.
I just hope that he is able to train up a successor, or he already has someone in mind to keep it going back down the path of more entertainment, less preachy, less messages. If you want to have
And when you mentioned Elementals, I was thinking about Pixar for a second, and the reason why I didn't like Elementals, and obviously we both know that Strange World was horrible.
I never watched it.
I didn't watch it either. I just saw parts of it, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that Pixar movies always had that I will always be grateful for the people that made those movies, and again, why Toy Story 4 I didn't like at all, is that Pixar, in every single one of its movies, up until these newer ones, I'll probably say up to Monsters University or Toy Story 3, whatever, which one was newer.
Pretty sure Monsters University was newer.
Because Monsters University was amazing.
It was really good.
My favorite, that's better than Monsters, Inc., in my opinion. I know, but there's a reason why, but we might talk about that another time.
Okay.
But the reason why those movies for me did so well, and I hope you agree with me on this, is that the protagonists of each of those stories has a goal. Once you notice throughout their story, they don't get what they want. They get what they need, most importantly. I love that. Because you think that it's going to go so bad for them because they don't get what they want. But once you see that they actually get what they need instead, it makes it so much more impactful. And they lost it. They lost that feeling. When I watched Toy Story 4, I didn't get that feeling of like they didn't get what they wanted. They just were in the circumstance, and then circumstances changed. Like that's not supposed to be a Pixar story. With Elementals, they didn't get what they wanted. They got what they needed. They got exactly what they want. Like, they figured it all out. And I didn't like that. Yeah, Incredibles 2, that was even great. No. I loved it. I loved it. Because... okay, but with Incredibles 2, they did get what they want, but they also got what they needed, because it was about to fail, which was really cool. Is that what they wanted was about to fail, but they were able to get what they needed to get what they want. So that was so perfect, just because superhero society was building back up again, and it was looking good until this one thing was about to get in the way, until the screenplay was getting in the way. So I thought it was fantastic. Pixar started losing it after Incredibles 2, or for some people like you, were losing it as soon as Incredibles 2 started. So it's just little stuff like that, and that happened not just in Pixar, but also with Marvel. And Disney, even with their stuff, like just strictly Disney, like Frozen 2, like what they
I
were
never offsetting.
I liked it not as much as the first one, but then as soon as they were saying like canonically what sexual orientation Elsa was, and then like stuff like that for a children's movie, like I was like, come on. Like, I honestly thought Frozen 2 was really good, but as soon as they started releasing stuff about Elsa, I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would watch it because Kristoff, he has this whole like music video that he does. Dude, it is so good.
Okay.
You need to watch it.
Okay.
But yeah, even Disney with their own stuff is really like failing in its own regard. After Encanto, it just goes downhill, and for good reason. Just because they've been really pushing. So it's cool that Bob Iger is doing this. I'll be hopeful in terms of how they affect this with Star Wars and Marvel specifically, because they also just released, well, not today when this video comes out, but today when we're recording, they also released that Patty Jenkins, they're back on for Star Wars Rogue Squadron. And Acolyte.
Oh. Wait, wasn't so Bernie Jenkins the one who created Mando Season 3?
No, she's the one that did Wonder Woman.
And oh, Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah, exactly. right there. Because she did fantastic for Wonder Woman, but 84?
Yeah.
Oof. He did not hit that.
Yeah.
But and they're re-releasing Phantom Menace just so that they can show the Acolyte trailer after.
That's sweet. But I so one other thing I will say about you brought up Pixar. The first movie that came to mind when you said they didn't get what they wanted, they got what they needed, was Cars, the first Cars. Because Cars
I just rewatched that.
Mm-hmm. Lightning McQueen wanted to become the best racer in the world, and he was arrogant, and he was uptight. All he wanted was that piston cup. He went through this entire journey where he was like, this sucks. I don't want this. And he met his best friend. He met who I think is his wife. He met, you know, this giant town that was failing miserably and was super selfish at first. And then ended up talking to Doc Hudson and was super inspired and was just like, it's literally just a cup. What are you doing? Don't waste your life away like I did. And it ends up kind of kind of going through his head throughout the entire rest of the movie. And toward the end, he becomes this like humble guy, humble car, I guess, who literally gives up his dream and passion to make sure that someone who lost everything because of a crash or was going to lose everything because of a crash didn't, and he got third place. Mm-hmm. But then he went back to the town, helped them rebuild, put the town on the map, and then made it alive again. And it's like this started from something he wanted, which was super selfish and super self-indulgent, to helping multiple cars, helping multiple different people.
And getting love out of it and having a little community of his own.
Little community, like I said, a best friend, or I think is a wife.
And a mentor.
And a mentor who unfortunately died. But and then even in the third movie, take the third movie for an example, he still wanted to be the best racer. Not in like a selfish way, but just the best racer. And then he had to put that aside once he crashed. And then even when he did crash, he was still pushing himself to be the best racer until he saw the yellow car. I forgot her name. Cruz. Thank you. Until he saw Cruz and was like, this isn't for me anymore. I have to pass this down. I have to become Doc. And did what he needed to then make her life better.
Oh, that was such a good movie.
And so it's like these movies, like you said, they don't get what they want. They get what they need, and they give people what other people want and need. So it's like a selfless thing. And a lot of Pixar movies lately have either been very loosely following that concept or just throwing that concept away and creating a new one. And it's like a lot of people may say, oh, it's repetitive. No, it's not. Because Pixar did it for years and no one called it repetitive. You can look at Monsters, Inc. You can look at Cars. You can look at Toy Story 1, 2, and 3. Any, just about any Pixar movie follows a general line and concept. And all of them are critically acclaimed. So it's something that is possible and it's doable and it's something we can all connect to. But when you try and change the concept and change the base form of something just to have it look better and make more money, that doesn't work. That just does not work. That's about all I have to say on the matter. But I just hope it's heading in a better direction. Back to something to where when I have kids, I don't have to look through it and look it up on Common Sense Media or parental guides or whatever, just to make sure that there's no inappropriate things or agendas being pushed that I don't want my kids to see. I want to be like, oh, Disney movie, click. put it right up on the screen. Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to sit here on my laptop and do some work while you watch this or whatever may hold the future.
I'm the same way, dude. And that's why, like, that's why I was so hurt when Buzz Lightyear came out.
Yep. Lightyear.
When Lightyear came out. Oh my God. This is coming from a person who literally owned the original toy, who watched the original TV show, who literally wanted to be a Space Ranger every time he went to Disneyland. And I watched Lightyear. I was so, oh my God, I almost cried because I was so disappointed in it. Like, it was so, so, so bad. And it sucks because when I was going into it, I was like, you know what, this would be really cool, you know, showing my kids this, like for them, this will be like how I look at the old school TV show. I was like, oh no, there's no way. Like, it's so bad. Like, there's no way. I want to be able to put on just a, like, how our parents did it. They just put on a Disney movie and they were fine. Like, they didn't have to worry about stuff like this when it came to, like, Disney. They had to deal with it with other people, maybe, like, outside sources. But when it came to, like, entertainment, they didn't have to look out as much. They just put on a Disney movie or something cool that just has kids on it and just let us go crazy about it. And look at us. We're still enjoying it at some extent. But now we're going to have to really, like, research and be like, okay, what is this about? What does it have? Does it have, you know, qualities I want my children to watch? Like, now our generation, for people like us, a little more, I wouldn't say put us in the conservative spot, but I'll say more conserved than average Americans nowadays. More conservative than average American nowadays are... It's going to be a little harder for us to really try to find good entertainment for our next generation that's coming out. So
yeah, I personally, and I know that neither of us are like right share our stances on here. We are careful with our words, but I mean, I was raised conservative and the whole deal, and I was raised with certain morals and values, and that's the way I want to raise my children. And, you know, just because I'm conservative, my parents didn't look at talking cars and went, that's from the devil. They looked at it and was like, this has a good message and a good story and something that's very child friendly and it's entertaining. And I mean, I think I turned out pretty good.
But, my dad watched me watch a show that had Mr. Sinister that looked like a crazy demon and said, it's okay. And I ended up okay.
Yeah,
so I'm here.
And I mean, it's just the content of the show. So anyway, I think we've both gone on long enough. But that's kind of what we're hoping for as things progress, because if they start putting out better stuff, we have more stuff to talk about and be excited for. Instead of getting on here and being like, well, there's another Disney movie coming out. You know, I don't mind talking about stuff like that, but I don't want it to be every piece of media that comes out from these companies.
Right.
So anyway, I think that's about it. We really appreciate you guys listening to our, I feel like occasionally it turns into almost a rant. But
no, it does. It turns into a rant now because it's everything's so bad, and it's either like 80% of what we talk about is these companies' fault, and then our other rant is like fans' fault that don't understand stuff like
the Marvels and stuff.
It's ridiculous, yeah. Right? Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So you know We are happy to discuss these things. And like we said in the last episode, and we say just about every episode, if you guys do want to let us know your thoughts on all this, we would love to hear it. We're open to discussion. Like we said in the last one, Jabin is a fan of debating. Friendly debate, not arguing. But he's a fan of debating. I don't mind talking to you guys and having a conversation about different thoughts or the same. So if you guys are interested, go check out the YouTube. This is where I edit the videos that we take, and all the audio recordings and everything. And you can comment and just let us know what your take on it is. It's Cross Country Comics, same as the podcast and everything. So I think that's about it. Any other final words, final comments?
Thank you, whoever's watching and listening from that last episode. Because I know, like, with the last episode, Garrett and I were pretty angry.
Yep.
So we were really bad. So if you're coming back after that, I do want to say thank you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. It means a lot to both of us. And we hope that you get to stay, because again, we have fun doing this. This is our passion project that we share together. It's great for both of us to do this. It gives us, honestly, if I kind of wanted to say, it honestly helps our mental health, because it kind of, like, in a way forces us to talk more and actually, like, communicate about stuff and stuff like that. So, because when it comes to, like, communicating, him and I aren't really the most greatest when it comes to, like, picking up our phones and calling and texting someone. We'd rather just be out and about and be where we are in the moment. So it's pretty cool that we have something like this that we both share, so that we still keep, you know, keep each other in line and whatnot. So we appreciate that you guys are listening and watching while we go through this journey. And again, it's just fun that it's kind of just, it's not, and this is something we haven't said in a really long time, but I'm glad that this isn't scripted and professional. Like, this is still very amateur. It's still fun. We're still laying out, you know, that feeling of, like, this is just a hangout, like us talking about what we like. Like, literally that whole time when we were researching about Bob Iger, I was having fun because I was like, oh wow, this is pretty nuts. Like, wow, we're really doing this. So it's just nice having this platform, and it's cool that you guys are still listening and watching. We appreciate the support and everything like that. So yeah, just thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. Every little bit of support, every little bit of, you know, sharing this with people or just listening to it yourself. Like you said, this is something that we really enjoy just in general. It's also something that we are very passionate about and have been for a while. I think it's something that a lot of people might look at these days and go, oh, well, you're grown men. How can you just talk about comics and stuff? Well, first of all, we both have jobs outside of this. Second of all, a lot of people, and this is something I think I said near the beginning, maybe in one of the first or second episodes, but a lot of people have lost their connection to what it's like to be childlike. Not to be immature, but to be childlike, because being childlike in a sense is enjoying things for what they are. It's finding fun and imagination and stuff in things that most people might be like, oh, well, that's just no fun anymore, because I can't like that anymore. No, you can. Obviously don't make it your entire life. Have a life outside that you are an adult, but have these things that you can go and decompress and you can have fun and you can talk with people about. So, you know, that's what we're kind of doing here. And we would love for you guys to be along with the ride, along for the ride with us. But yeah, thank you guys. I know this is only our second episode back out since we have come back. But we appreciate all the support. Even if just one or two of you are listening, even that is, it means a lot. So thank you guys so much. Adi, I think that was about it. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll go ahead and end it here. So thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see all of you in the next one. Bye guys.
See ya.